to the book of Ephesians again, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and this morning we will read from verse 10 through verse 15. Verse 10 through verse 15. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you open our ears now, open our hearts to receive your word. Father, that we would put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, that indeed we may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the evil one this very morning. We pray this in Jesus' name, asking that the Holy Spirit would do his work now. Amen. Gospel footwear. I know if you think about your feet very often. Some of you might. Some of you might try to ignore feet. Maybe you don't like feet very much. But you might have had the experience, maybe as a small child, maybe as you were older, where you set out to do something in your backyard, or you're heading somewhere, and you are walking barefoot, and it's a nice grass or a smooth path, and as you head along, all of a sudden you find yourself entering a new area. Maybe you come across some gravel, or maybe you're exploring and you come into an area where there's all kinds of garbage around, or thorns and thistles, and all of a sudden you become quickly aware that you're not prepared for this place that you find yourself in. We might imagine a little girl following her father, and he's trudging along happily with his boots, and she's following behind him in her little bare feet, and then all of a sudden she steps on that first thorn and everything stops. Now she doesn't know any longer if it's safe to take another step. She's frozen in her tracks, and suddenly she doesn't want to move any longer. Footwear is necessary preparation in the battle against the evil one. And it's that footwear that Paul is drawing our attention to this morning. It's that footwear that we want to spend some time looking at this morning. Footwear is important. Indeed, it's necessary to be ready. To be ready to engage in the battle. And as we consider in this passage, we've considered the reality that the entire Christian life is a life of war. From conversion to consummation, from new birth to resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ, the Christian is engaged in war. And the war takes place primarily in two areas. There's an internal war and an external war. The internal war is the war with the flesh, which remains active in the redeemed, regenerated, born-again believer. And the desires of the flesh, we hear in 1 Peter, are at war with our souls. They wage war against our souls. Paul tells us in Galatians that there is a war in every believer. A war between the spirit who is in us and the desires of the flesh that remain and are not yet completely mortified or put off, as they will be when the Lord returns. So there's an inner war and there's also an outer war. And though they are distinct, they're not entirely separate. And though here in this passage, Paul is calling our attention to the invisible external or outer war, the war that is fought against the devil himself, we realize that that war that he is waging against us is accomplished, or it's waged through the means that are outside of us, but also including that internal battle. The flesh, in one sense, is an ally with the evil one in this battle. And so one of the means that he uses is tempting us according to the desires of our flesh in the war that he wages against us. And in this war that we are in, this battle with Satan himself, the enemy of our souls, we find a consistent minefield. A consistent minefield in two areas. The areas of suffering in general and suffering for the cause of Christ in particular. I think as we look at the scriptures this morning, we will see that those two areas are areas that we might think of in terms of thorns or broken glass or sharp stones that the evil one, knowing that they will be in our path, seeks to immobilize us according to those things. Suffering in general and suffering for the gospel in particular. But Paul, and indeed God himself through Paul, has given us provision that we might be ready to face those particular trials and the schemes of the evil one that he uses in those things. And the provision that he has given us is gospel footwear, which is the readiness that is given by the gospel of peace. That's the simple logic of this portion of the passage. Remember, we've seen that these verses are the means by which we stand. So you remember in verse 14, we stand by fastening on the belt of truth. We stand by having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And now, in this passage, we stand having put on the readiness that is given by the gospel of peace. Might sound strange to our ears to hear Paul talking about the gospel of peace, in the midst of a passage that's drawing our attention to the reality of the unseen war that we are all in a passage that's calling our attention to that war so that we might be able to stand in that war, to stand firm against the one who wages war against us. We don't want to go into battle unprepared. And here we find that it's the gospel of peace that gives us a readiness to wage that war. So what is this gospel of peace? You might think immediately back to chapter 2, where Paul draws our eyes, our gaze to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and he talks about it in terms of peace. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both together to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. The gospel of peace is the proclamation, the good news, that those who are children of wrath by birth, that those who are enemies of God, can be reconciled, can be brought back into the fellowship, the loving embrace of God himself, through the cross of Jesus Christ. Colossians, Paul says, he made peace by the blood of his cross. We saw at the beginning of chapter 2 that there was enmity between fallen, unbelieving sinners and the good, holy creator of the universe. And in that enmity, we deserve nothing but the wrath of God. But God moves towards these enemies, these fallen people, these traitors who shake their fists at the Creator, who refuse to give Him thanks, who refuse to honor Him, who refuse to acknowledge Him, who refuse to worship Him, who refuse to find satisfaction in Him, and instead find satisfaction in created things. He comes to us in that state, and He makes peace by the blood of the cross. The good news of peace for enemies. Think of yourself in a dungeon, locked up, awaiting execution because you have committed cosmic treason. Treason not just against a good king on this earth. Treason not just against a good person. Not just against the most benevolent and loving human being. But treason against the holy, perfectly loving, perfectly just, perfectly good God of the universe. And someone comes and says, I have good news for you, good news of peace. The king that you have offended so greatly, the king that you have made an enemy, as you have shaken your fist at him, he, by the death of his own beloved son, has reconciled sinners to himself. if you would but receive his offer of peace by resting your hope in Jesus Christ, who is himself our peace. You would be welcomed back into the loving arms, not just of your King, but of your Father. The gospel of peace makes us ready. This is the gospel that we are talking about. The gospel that brings peace by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, that offers peace to every human being, the announcement of the angels, peace on earth, but peace only one place and in only one way. Peace in Jesus Christ and nowhere else, and peace through faith and in no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Outside of Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of Almighty God. But through faith, you can be united to Him and be in a state of peace with that same God. And what Paul is telling us, what God is telling us in this passage, if we are to fight the battle that is raging, the spiritual battle, if we are to stand against the schemes of the evil one, we must have the readiness that comes by that gospel of peace, by that good news of the abolishment of war and strife and enmity and estrangement through the blood of the cross. We must take the readiness that comes from that gospel and put it on our feet, that we would be prepared then, ready, eager, willing to face the sufferings that will come to us. So how does the gospel of peace make us ready in the battle that we might stand? That's what we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at here. How does the gospel of peace make us ready for the battle that we might stand? And why am I drawing particular attention to peace in sufferings? There's two places that establish that connection, and why I think Paul is telling us to be ready according to the gospel of peace so that we can face sufferings and stand. Two places. One is Romans chapter 5. If you have your Bible open, which you should flip there really quickly. Romans chapter 5, just a few pages back. Romans chapter 5, we will see the connection between peace and suffering. Just briefly. Romans chapter 5, Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, remember, we talked about that last week. According to the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, credited to our account, our sins having been placed on Him, born away, dealt with on the cross, now we are declared righteous in His sight, having been justified by faith. We have peace with God, Paul says. Peace with God is the fruit of justification through Jesus Christ. Then, through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Having been justified, we have peace. And now we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But verse 3, not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Having peace with God, we are prepared, we are made ready to rejoice in our sufferings. So that's one connection. Paul connects peace with God and walking in a particular way through suffering. Jesus does the same thing. These words I have spoken to you that you might have peace, for in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Peace, prepares us for suffering in a very particular way. So how does the gospel of peace make us ready that we might stand in these sufferings? Number one, peace promises war. Peace with God promises war. We saw that there is a war. And the reason there's a war for us as believers is that we now have peace with the King of the universe, against whom rages the evil one, and the world with its mind set on unbelief, and our flesh, which wages war against the evil one. To have peace with God guarantees the war. That's the first way that the gospel of peace prepares us. Because the gospel tells us that having come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, now having peace with the holy creator of the universe, you will have war. You will have war. Think of how many times we are promised sufferings. John 16:33. We just quoted that. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided what? We suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified with Him. Preaching in Acts, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations it is necessary that you would enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. The gospel of peace promises us a war from new birth until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is the grace of God to us, to make us ready. Nothing comes unexpected. Think of the guy who goes down to the beach. We don't prepare for something we don't expect. He goes down to the beach, he throws his shoes on the side, he's running through the sand because it's nice. If there was glass buried under that sand everywhere, he would prepare for it. But not expecting glass buried under the sand everywhere, he does not prepare for it. But in God's grace, when He brings us the good news of peace, with that He promises us suffering. He promises us tribulation. He tells us that that is the way it's going to be, and that's His mercy to us. Peace with God promises war. Peace with God promises war. Second, the way that the gospel of peace prepares us. Peace with God promises war, but peace with God guarantees to us that the only being in the universe that we need ultimately fear has reconciled Himself to us. The only being in the universe that we need to ultimately fear has reconciled Himself to us. This is how the gospel of peace prepares us to face every kind of suffering in the Christian life. Consider the words of Jesus in Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The only being in the universe whom we need to ultimately fear has reconciled us to Himself. He has done it. He has taken the initiative. He has paid the price. He wanted us in, and He brought us into Himself. And so whatever suffering you face, the only one that you need ultimately fear, you have a relationship of peace with this makes us ready. It makes us ready. Jesus means that. You know that, right? Matthew 10:28. He means, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body. I think we sometimes read over those lines quickly and then we move on. He must have meant something different than don't be afraid of that. He was like, you can, it's okay to be afraid of that, but maybe here's another thought. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. What can man do to me? Is the line that the genuine believer, the one who knows the peace of God and the gospel of peace, can speak. What can man do to me? Imprison me, torture me, insult me, reject me, kill me. They can't do anything to me. Because I have peace with the living God. Peace with the living God. So peace with God promises war, prepares us by promising us the battle, and then peace with God prepares us, readies us for this battle by ensuring that the only thing that ultimately could bring fear has been dealt with. Peace has been brought between us and God. But then, It's not only that, but peace with God in the gospel of peace. The peace that's bought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ prepares us to face suffering, because peace with God, the gospel of peace, does not remove suffering. We saw that it promises suffering. The gospel of peace promises suffering now. It doesn't remove suffering now. Instead, it makes suffering a servant of hope. Look back at Romans chapter 5 one more time. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing what? That suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. The gospel of peace readies us to face the battle, the war, the spiritual fight that we are in, when we come across the thorns and stones of suffering, because we hear spoken to us that having peace with God, suffering is now a servant of hope. Did you hear that? We rejoice in our sufferings. That is meant to be the reality for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who knows peace with God through the cross of Jesus. Rejoicing in suffering, knowing that suffering has been made a servant. God does not remove suffering now, but He has put a chain around its neck, put His foot on its back, and said, you will now serve the hope of my people. You will serve in the lives of believers the hope of my people. Do you see the gospel of peace readying you for that suffering that is going to come? The gospel of peace promises you that that suffering will serve your hope. It gets even bigger than that. It gets even bigger than that. We now have peace with the God who works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It's not limited to one kind of suffering. It's not limited to one time of suffering. Instead, we have what has been called by many different people the greatest promise in all the Bible. Romans 8:28. That for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Remember, the gospel of peace announces to us the reigning Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who are in Jesus Christ, having peace with God, we don't just have the removal of conflict. God hasn't just taken away something that was between us. No, He has moved in with everything that He is as the triune, holy, loving, omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful God. And He has promised His people to prepare them, to ready them for the battle. Everything you face as a believer, every single trial, every single loss, every single person whom you love who dies, every single bit of health that you have today and tomorrow is gone, every possession He's given you and He may take away, every trial you walk through, every insult that's put upon you, everything you face, He now works as the sovereign Lord of the universe for your good. Are your feet ready with the gospel of peace? Are you ready to face those sufferings? Have you been prepared with that reality? That needs to be on your hearts and on your minds if you're going to stand in the war. This warfare is real. Consider Job just for a minute. You think sufferings, maybe just trials, are not part of spiritual warfare. But what's the battle? Think of Job. What is Satan's charge? What does he hope to accomplish in assaulting Job? He says, consider, the Lord says, consider Job. And Satan says, yeah, right. Look at what you've given him. He's got it all. Take it away and he will curse you to your face. Brothers and sisters, there are many people who claim the name of Christ, and you would think that when they read Romans chapter 5, it says something like, not only that, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we grumble in our sufferings, questioning the very love of God for us in them. What's at stake in your sufferings? What was Satan trying to accomplish in... He says, he doesn't really love you for you. He doesn't worship you because you're worthy of worship. He worships you because you gave him stuff. Brothers and sisters, when you lose stuff, when you lose face, when you lose friends, when you lose a loved one, when you lose your health, will Satan's words be proved true? Curse him to his face. Or do you have the readiness that's given by the gospel of peace? Is the reality of peace with God the central, all-encompassing treasure of your life, such that you know that losing everything, you still have all of it in God? God works all things together for good for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. You have more light than Job had. When you lose something, peace with God has made you ready. Ready to face suffering in general and suffering for the gospel in particular. It's been promised in the gospel of peace. And finally and lastly, It is temporary. Peace with God promises us war. It provides all that we need to be ready for that war, particularly in suffering. That we would know the sufficiency of God in suffering. But it's temporary. The gospel of peace announces to us that all of those things which wage war against us, the flesh internally, the world and the evil one externally, all of those things have been conquered in the cross. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, they will all be put away, always and forever. And the God with whom we now have peace, the God in whose presence there is fullness of joy and whose right hand is pleasure forevermore, will bring us home safely to be with Him. He will put an end to all the war. And that knowledge makes us ready to stand now. When the evil one whispers that this is going to last forever, that you cannot make it through, we know that the very peace we know with God now guarantees that in the end the battle will be finished and put away. And we will reign with Him forever. If peace with God, the knowledge of peace with God through Jesus Christ, does not bring any kind of readiness to your soul, a preparedness to face the sufferings of life and the sufferings for the gospel. Have you really considered the weight of being an enemy of God and the glory of knowing peace with Him? Let's pray. Father, You have designed that we would not be a people unprepared, but that we would be a people ready. You have preached peace to us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray now that the gospel of peace would make us ready to stand in the midst of suffering, to rejoice defiantly in the face of suffering for the glory of Your Son. Amen.